This is Akashvani. In the program Insights, we now bring you a discussion on India's commitment to clean energy transition. The participants are Narendra Taneja, energy expert, and Rajesh Laik, anchor.
A warm welcome to Akashvani, Mr. Taneja.
Thank you.
Can you provide an overview of India's current clean energy transition goals and objectives?
India has been working on net zero, the clean energy agenda, for quite some time. And if you look at the landscape today, a significant percentage of electricity in particular is coming from clean sources of energy. That includes, of course, wind power, solar, nuclear, hydropower, etc. And now the plans are actually to expand it. And by 2030, the agenda is that all close to 50% of energy, that's mainly electricity, would be coming from green sources of energy. And in the time to come, hydrogen is also going to play an important role.
What are the milestones and targets set by the Indian government for achieving a clean energy transition? And how has the Indian government allocated funds in the recent budget for clean energy initiatives?
Look, I mean, it's important to look at the kind of the constitutional provisions first, in the sense that when it comes to conventional energy, whether it's oil or gas or nuclear power, or to some extent even coal, that's the responsibility of the central government. But when it comes to renewable energy, solar, wind, and et cetera, including hydro, state governments play a very, very important role. So that's on the concurrent list. And also when it comes to the distribution of power, especially delivering at a factory or at a household, that again is the responsibility of the state. So when we talk of green energy in India, green energy is mainly in the context of electricity. And that's the story in many other countries. So therefore, the role of state government actually becomes critical. So as far as the central government is concerned, the central government agenda is clear that they want, over a period of time, 50% electricity coming from renewable sources. And that will include, of course, you know, nuclear power and hydrogen and others. But different state, when you look at the performance of the delivery on the part of the state government, it varies from state to state. So when we talk of India and oil and gas, probably we can put everything in the one bracket. But when it comes to renewables, I think we have to go state by state. Let me say, for the sake of discussion, let's say Maharashtra, Gujarat, Karnataka, even parts of Kerala, they and Andhra Pradesh, they have done very well in terms of renewable energy, and some states like Karnataka and Gujarat, even wind energy also. And while there are other states, for instance, like Uttar Pradesh, they come out with very ambitious renewable energy agenda and also the transformation agenda in terms from conventional energy to renewable sources of energy. So different states have got their own milestones. Center has kind of given its own agenda and its own milestones. And there is a kind of real-time basis cooperation and coordination between the center and the states. Sometimes some states have basically delivered on the agenda that they have agreed with the central government. But at times you see that some states have not been able to do that. So in terms of fiscal incentives and tax incentives and subsidies and all that, government has many schemes. One of the schemes is, of course, very well known is Kusum, that is targeted at the farmers as part of the government efforts to increase the income of farmers across the country. That, again, center can't do it directly, so it is through various state governments and other agencies. And there the idea is, if you travel across the country, majority of pumps, water pumps that farmers use for irrigation, are powered by diesel. So the Kusum is targeted at this so that they can actually switch from diesel to solar. And it has produced very encouraging results. And therefore, in the recent budget, government has even decided to increase the government support to 90%, which used to be 60%. It is being increased to 90%. A small component that is also a kind of loan that they would be getting, which means that they will have to pay back. And the contribution of farmers is only 10%. So the whole strategy of the government is that, you know, on the one hand, they will use solar power for irrigation purposes and using solar pumps. But at the same time, if they are going for 1 megawatt or 2 megawatt power production unit, then they can also sell that electricity and thereby increase their monthly income, or set up their own industrial unit, a micro unit, or depending on what they want to do, and generate income. You just imagine, for the sake of discussion, a village where you've got, let's say, 50 farmers who have availed this scheme and they've got surplus power. So they can use their surplus power and kind of generate industrial activity, micro-industrial activity in the village, which in turn will A, create jobs, and B, of course, generate more revenue, more income for the farmers and their dependents. So government has been very serious, very keen on that. But again, the implementation depends from state to state, enthusiasm from state to state. And the states where the quality of governance, energy governance is better, there the results are better. Where the quality of energy governance is not really up to the mark, the results are not so.
There must be some policies and regulations that support India's clean energy transition. And I heard you say that there's a lot of emphasis on the renewable energy, and the center is playing a major role in giving the impetus to the use of renewable energy projects. So what is it that the center, besides, of course, the budget aspect of it, that motivates the states to do what the center is asking to do in terms of renewable energy projects? Are there any, apart from budgets, other incentives that the center gives to the states so that the emphasis is laid by the states?
No, you see, when it comes to India's vision, India's roadmap, and India's kind of destination when India has set up, the entire world knows about it. We have got one of the most ambitious clean energy agenda in the world. And in terms of performance, walking the talk, in fact, the last 7 years, we have actually, our performance, our delivery in terms of setting solar power capacity or wind power capacity, or for that matter, even the hydropower capacity, is there. We have exceeded. We have done better than most even developed countries. For instance, let me give you an example. The goal we set up for 2025, we have already achieved it. We still have 1.5 years to go, but we have already achieved. And as far as the government policies, agenda, vision, enthusiasm, push, my sense is the entire country knows it. I mean, you go today, when I travel around as part of my work and I meet farmers, people on the ground in small towns in Uttar Pradesh, Bihar, Madhya Pradesh, everybody knows what the government wants to do. And in fact, the questions that come to me, and I'm sure the similar questions comes to a lot of other people, the people want to know that how can they, for instance, build a solar power panel on their roof, or how can they benefit from it, or how can they set up their own mini 1 megawatt, 2 megawatt solar power plant. These kind of questions come from the people who can't even spell energy, but they know what the government is trying to do, and they know the benefits. So I think, thankfully, across the country, government, people of India, they know the government policy. They know the policy infrastructure, which have been already put in place. And they also know that time to time, the government keep on coming with new incentives and new schemes and new push. Because we are a very vast country, and we are heavily dependent on imports for energy. 86% of our requirement of oil is met by imports, which is a huge burden on fiscal deficit, huge burden on foreign currency reserves, and a huge burden on the economy as a whole. The natural gas, which people use across the country for cooking food or in the form of CNG, that again, 52% is imported. For nuclear power, we import substantial amount of uranium. And when it comes to solar power, today the situation is that we're importing roughly 70-80% of the equipment that we use for solar panels, like cells, etc. So the government wants to reduce dependence as part of the government agenda of Viksit Bharat. Idea is that at the same time to achieve energy independence, so that our dependence on imports is brought to zero. So these are kind of, and there are of course milestones which the government and some state government, they keep talking about, some private sector companies, they keep talking about, whether it's biofuels or it's hydrogen, is all part of the same thing. How can we reduce dependence on imports so that we can actually achieve energy independence ASAP? We know we can't get it overnight, but the government has got the milestones in place, and we are successfully moving in the right direction. And if everything goes well, by 2047, we'll not only become energy surplus, hopefully we'll also be actually have sufficient surplus energy to export, especially in the form of electricity in via batteries and cells and so on. Also, within 5 years, the target is to reduce our dependence on imports for solar power panels and solar power cells quite significantly. And I think the government target is that over the next 7 to 8 years, we actually emerge as a net exporter of solar power panels and solar cells and all that. For that, 2 gigafactories are being set up in Gujarat in Jamnagar, and there is a plan to set up one more in Maharashtra. There is another plan to set up a similar factory, a gigafactory in Karnataka. So I think we are well on its way, and most of these things are kind of not only acknowledged by the global community, energy community in particular, but by ordinary people too in many parts of the world.
Now, from the government's point of view, and as you mentioned, from the farmer's point of view or the consumer's point of view, everyone knows that renewable energy, clean energy is something that we must have. But the fact of the matter is that there are challenges that the government faces that we as consumers also face. So how are we to encounter these challenges in the implementation of clean energy projects? And is this only finance related that the challenges we're talking about? Or are there any other challenges?
You see, our challenge is that we are home to 1.4 billion people. And we still have a large number of people who are below energy poverty lines, which means that they have access to electricity, petrol, diesel, but not in sufficient amount because they don't have the paying capacity or there are other constraints. So how do we kind of achieve that? And when you look at India's energy landscape today, 80% of energy is still coming from the conventional sources. When I say conventional, that means coal, and that means diesel, that means petrol, etc. So while we are pushing for renewables, while we want that at the end of the day by 2047, the share of renewable is larger than, let's say, conventional energy, which includes coal. But at the same time, we know that how do we go for that kind of transition? So this transition in some countries, they are moving it faster because they have more access to energy or their requirement is not so large or their economies are smaller, or their challenges are smaller. But in our case, the problem, on the one hand, we have to ensure that we continue to grow our economy at 8 to 10%. We need to grow at 10% and so that we can pull practically everybody out of poverty in the country. But we cannot do that unless we have access to A, cheap energy, and B, affordable energy, and C, secure energy that is available. When we look at the landscape and analyze it, we find that we have no option but to continue to use coal for a long time to come, to continue to use diesel, petrol for a very long time to come. Unfortunately, we have no other option. So on the one hand, we need to kind of produce more coal, produce more oil, or import if necessary. The same goes for natural gas. And at the same time, we need to incentivize and go for the complete independence in terms of renewable sources of energy, including hydro and nuclear power. Now, that's the challenge. How do you do that? It's easier said than done. So what the government is doing, on the one hand, pushing for green energy, offering whatever incentives they can. For instance, you know, you want to set up a rooftop solar power plant, you know, the government has come out with new scheme. If you look at the budget recently announced by the finance minister. And at the same time, if you want to explore more oil in the Bay of Bengal, in the Arabian Sea, government is giving tremendous incentive for that as well. And the same goes for coal, especially the clean coal. So I think we don't have this option. We need every single source of energy that's available. When we talk of clean energy, it's important to keep in mind that top agenda is to eradicate energy poverty across the country. Number two is to make India energy independent. And at the same time, no compromise with economic growth. So how to strike the right balance? To strike the right balance, that's pretty what the government is trying to do. It's not easy. It's hugely challenging. And those who sometimes criticize in parliament or outside the parliament, the government's efforts to strike the right balance, many of them may not be well informed or well versed how the whole thing functions. But the fact is, when it comes to the country like India, huge challenges, size of population, the need to grow and all that, I think there are no shortcuts. So conventional energy, coal, diesel, petrol is important. We actually keep on incentivizing and pushing for more production, for more growth in the country. At the same time, we do the same for renewable. And hopefully, in 30 to 40 years from now, bulk of energy is going to come from green energy. Or even wherever we are using coal or diesel and petrol, that will be green coal, green diesel, green petrol. So that means contamination of air or water or earth would be brought down to a minimum. So I think that's the kind of track that the India is going. Even if you come out with any policy announcement, even if you try to make some shortcuts under pressure or whatever, climate lobby or whatever, I don't think there are any, there's going to be any difference. If we want to make sure we continue to grow, eradicate poverty in the country, and we become the third largest economy, then we have no option but to continue to use conventional energy, at the same time, push for green energy as fast and as hard as possible.
On that note, thank you so very much for being with
Akash. Thank you. Thank
you. You were listening to a discussion on India's commitment to clean energy transition. The participants were Narendra Taneja, energy expert, and Rajesh Lake, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 92890940044.